today on Real Radio.
Do you think the world wants to hear you leave this building today and go to breakfast and say, hey, how you doing? I'd like to take a stack of pancakes and a bunch of scrambled eggs and some sausage. And oh, by the way, I'm a zealot for Jesus. They'll call the cops. It seems like our nation these days is going after evangelism more than terrorism.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. So when we think about our lives as Christians, Peter is challenging us to be on guard. In other words, we're not to be surprised when we are attacked for our faith or rejected for sharing the good news of the gospel. To follow Jesus Christ is to be hated in this world. But Peter tells us that if we suffer for the Lord's sake, we are blessed. We're not to fear those who can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that this unbelieving world in which we live cannot live in harmony with the believer. This is why we need to be on our mark, standing on strong biblical doctrine, always set at a moment's notice to give an answer for our faith, and to be ready and watchful for the Lord's return. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We are now picking up in a new section, a new portion of 1 Peter chapter 3. And today we're in verses 13 to 17. And I said it's good news, and it is good news. Please remember back in the old days, I don't remember who it was. Was it Hobo Kelly? Does anybody remember Hobo Kelly?
Sally Baker.
Somebody used to say, maybe it was Sheriff John. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The poor young people are going, what? But somebody used to say, put on your thinking caps. Remember that? Put on your thinking caps. So I would say today, put on your thinking caps, because what is being introduced to us today from Peter to the church is a radical way of thinking from a human perspective, but the proper way of thinking from the Christian perspective. So today we're looking at, next week we'll look at it also, a message entitled, On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready. Father, we pray that you would speak to us today, and Lord, that you would lift not only the words up from off the pages of your Bible and emboss it in our hearts, but Father, at a time like this, Lord, we pray that we as believers would be remarkable ministers of truth and comfort in an age, Lord, that needs your light more than ever. So Father, bless now our time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, church. And if you remember, and I know you do, as you read your Bible, the Great Sermon on the Mount is one of the most beloved portions of Scripture, of course, ever given and penned, the Sermon on the Mount. And the remarkable truth about the Sermon on the Mount is the fact that Jesus, in speaking it, revealed the spirit of the law, for example. God gave the law to Israel, and he gave it in stone. Jesus comes and gives the Sermon on the Mount, and he reveals the spirit of the law, the spirit now, not the commandment, but the spirit, which is love. Amazing. And he defines what it is to be a real follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that sermon, Jesus gave three key things that I want to point out to you before I read it. And then, of course, it is important to 1 Peter 3. One of those three key realities of the Sermon on the Mount is the fact that Jesus was teaching the earthly reality of being a heavenly believer. The earthly reality. The second thing Jesus points out the true conduct of what it means to be a believer. The true conduct, that is how we live our lives. And then thirdly, Jesus points out that there is a great difference between the believer and the non-believing world in that, watch everybody, the non-believing world cannot cohabitate with the believer. It just doesn't work, Jesus is saying. Now, you may or may not be a Christian here today, but you need to hear this, all of us, that according to God and the Bible, that the non-believing world, knowingly or unknowingly, refuses to cohabitate with the believing world. They don't mix. It's like oil and water. And Jesus said, and the Bible tells us from Old to New Testament, that as the last days increase, as we approach the end of days, the Bible tells us, and of course Jesus made it graphically clear, that there would be a rise of division between the believer and the unbeliever to the point that there would be persecution. In fact, global persecution. This is inevitable. This will come. It's already here. But in Matthew 5, as it sets the setting for 1 Peter 3, beginning at verse 13 in our study today, look at Matthew chapter 5. You can turn to it or look on the screens. Matthew 5, verse 1, there begins. It says, "And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 3, "blessed, happy, well off." We get the word welfare, not like you think. It's to fare well. Well faring, happy are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Look at verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, of theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. You ought to underline falsely, by the way. Falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in our study today, entitled On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, we begin as last days believers, end time believers, which you and I are, by the way. Some people don't like to hear that, the last days. I don't want to hear about the last days. You're too late. Listen, the Bible, according to theology, if you're just going to study theology, the science of theology, according to the Bible, the last days began, I hope you know when, the last days began 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born into this world in Bethlehem. Did you know that's the official beginning of the last days? The interesting thing is that the Bible tells us that from the preaching of the gospel unto the consummation of the preaching of the gospel via the church, the last 2,000 years, there will be a time that John in his epistle said is the last hour. Do you understand that? That in the last days, that's 2,000 year period of time, it is marked by predominantly the existence of the church on earth. Look at you. It's you. You. But the last days comes to an end, so to speak, when the church goes up in the rapture. Then the last hour begins. The last hour is the revelation of the Antichrist, for example. The last hour is a peace treaty that Israel signs with its neighbors, according to the ancient prophets. The last hour is the seven-year tribulation period. The last hour are the events that culminate that age and of the second coming of Christ. A remarkable time. Until that time comes, You and I are to be a people, a church, believers that are on their mark. That is, we're standing doctrinally accurate upon the Bible. Listen, church, this is why we spend so much time in the Bible here. Do you understand that? It's vitally important that we not entertain you. It's vitally important. Look, it's okay to have entertainment, but that's why God gave us Disneyland. I should take that back. If God gave us Disneyland, it would be free, I think. But you want entertainment, you can go do things. That's fine. That's all fine. But for the church, we are to be on our mark, which means we are to be standing day by day, moment by moment, upon strong, firm biblical doctrine, the Bible. You won't know nothing in this world unless you know the Bible and its doctrines. Okay, it's vitally important. That's why we spend anywhere from 58 minutes to 60 minutes in the Bible study alone. It's why our services are an hour and a half long. Now, don't look at your watch. But why? Because listen, study's important. That's why we come together as a church twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. And many of you gather even more often in the Bible, on your mark. And then we look at the word get set. The Christian is to always be set at a moment's notice to be deployed to what God would have us to do. If it's sharing Christ or being a loving example or witness to our coworkers or neighbors or whatever the situation might be, we are to be set, to be moved by God at any moment. Somebody say amen to that, because Malibu, Thousand Oaks, right? They're going to need us. We need to be ready to be deployed in a moment's time. And then to be ready. To be ready, Jesus said it over and over again, be ready, be watching, for you know not what hour the Son of Man comes. We are to be very ready. So until that time comes for him to pick us up, take us out of this world, or we go to him, what are we to do? Today we'll look at one argument only, and it is this, found in verses 13 to 15, and it is to be ready to not be surprised. Can you write that down? The Christian should never be surprised in this world. To not be surprised. Nothing should catch us off guard. The first thing that we see in verse 13 is that we are not to be surprised, Christian, when we are attacked for our faith. Can you mark that down? Please know this. You and I are going to be attacked for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Look at verse 13. Peter says to them, who is he? I love this. Who is he who will harm you? If you become followers of what is good. Now you might say, Jack, what in the world is he talking about? Peter's almost speaking in the form of what is known as a sarcasm. He is saying to the Christians, both then and now, who can harm you? Who can harm you if you decide to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, can you think about that for a moment? Because I can think of people who want to harm us. Can you? Well, is Peter not getting it? No, we're not getting it. Peter is saying, you can't be harmed in this world if you become a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, Jack, you're not helping me out. You're only making it worse. And this is Peter's point. The fact of the matter is, when God tells us in advance to not be surprised because you're going to be attacked in your faith that's in Jesus, and it's going to increase as we approach the last days. Peter says, cheer up. Nobody can harm you. Qualifier, number one, mark it down, student of the Bible. Your faith is to be in the Lord. That's the qualifier. That's what qualifies you and I to have this truth, verse 13, applied to our lives. Listen, this is serious business here. Number one, am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? If that's true, church, no one can harm me, you, us. Meaning this, you look at the word harm. It's the Greek word kaku, and it means to be treated with contempt or ill treatment. It means to have bitterness aligned against you. It means to be a target or an object of mistreatment. To harm. Yet Peter says in the positive, you can't be harmed. See, what is this? This is a strange contradiction. As a believer, I'm going to be attacked, and you're telling me I cannot be harmed? That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm being sarcastic with you. Follow with me in a moment to make the point. Then look at the word followers. The word followers here is where we get that English word mime or to mimic. Listen to the meaning of the word. It means to be an imitator of. It means to be a lookalike. It means to be in the shape, I love this, to be in the shape of the shadow of. Isn't that neat? Have you ever walked around, many of us, now I don't know, first service, we have more grandparents at first service. Did you know that? You want to know why? Because we don't sleep at much at night. So we wait, we just wait for first service to arrive. We've been up for hours. We're grandparents, so we attend first service. And having grandkids, have you noticed, have you ever been with them and you're somewhere, whatever, walking and there's your shadow. And have you ever seen your little grandkids? They're trying to walk in your shadow. Have you ever seen them do that? They'll walk in your footprints. Have you noticed that? It's very cool. They'll look to Mimi and Papa or Grandma and Grandpa and they'll mimic. And the younger they are, the cuter it is because they can't keep up with us. Their body size doesn't fit into our shadow or our steps, but that doesn't deter them. They'll do it anyway. They'll try to take the shape of. It's very precious. That's the meaning of the word here, to follow Christ. To be a follower of Jesus is to try to put your foot in his steps, to go where he went. And where did he go? He went in the direction of persecution. The Bible says that when he was in Galilee, it says he set his face like flint to Jerusalem. It means he couldn't be deterred. And he had told them, I'm leaving now. Let's go. Guys, let's pack up. Let's head south. 88 miles south. Let's go down. Why? Why are we going? Because he said, I must be betrayed and beaten and crucified, killed, and on the third day be resurrected from the dead. That's a great reason, Jesus, to not go to Jerusalem. And he said, nope. This is God's plan for my life. This is God's plan for the salvation of the world. This is God's plan according to the scriptures. And you and I as Christians don't miss this, that you and I are to walk in the same steps and in the same shadow of Jesus Christ himself. That's being a follower. It's to not be surprised when the world hates us and turns its arrows at us. And sometimes their accusations against us or their reasons make no sense. And that's part of this fallen demonic world that we live in. They don't even understand why they're attacking us and why they hate us. It's a deep spiritual issue, unknown to them. But we as believers are not to be surprised when your boss fires you and thinks and gins up excuses to say, well, this is why we fired you. But behind the page is because of the fact that you're a follower of Christ. You say, Jack, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. That's God's problem in your life. He's the one who said he'll take care of you. He's the one who said he'll protect you. He's the one that says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake. Just because you associate with me and you carry my name in this world, the world will hate you. And God says, I'll bless you. So it seems like a contradiction, but it's not at all. You're going to be attacked for your faith. Interesting word here, which implies that we're going to be attacked for our faith, for following Christ, for being associated with him, is the word zealotes, or we get the word zealot. Now, a lot of us don't like the word zealot. It's used in a negative connotation. Oh, he's a zealot. Or she's a fanatic. We have Simon the Zealot in Scripture, which means he was one of the disciples and one of the apostles, but he was a zealot against the Roman Empire. But the word zealot means to be a lover of something, or in our case, God, to the point where there's passion, to the point where there is an intense focus. You are a zealot for God. Now, church, listen, do you think the world wants to hear that? Do you think the world wants to hear you leave this building today and go to breakfast and say, hey, how you doing? I'd like to take a stack of pancakes and a bunch of scrambled eggs and some sausage. And oh, by the way, I'm a zealot for Jesus. They'll call the cops. They're going to think that you're going to blow something up or pull out a Bible and witness to somebody, which the world views as an equally same dangerous event. It seems like our nation these days is going after evangelism more than terrorism, for crying out loud. Remarkable, but it's again indicative of the age in which we are in and approaching. But Peter introduces to us a very remarkable way of thinking, which the Christian is to be thinking. And so it's this. Those who are followers of Jesus cannot be harmed in reality by the world in which we live in, because you and I have been born again and we are spiritual people. See, you and I live in a very, very cush world. You and I are very, very finely tuned to comfort. Did you know that? You know that, right? We like comfort. You buy shoes that are comfortable. You go to stores and you sit on from one couch to the other. You sit and look, I'll make this confession. I thought the guy was crazy. I thought I would take him up on his offer just to prove him wrong. I went online, I filled out the questionnaire, and I gave him my credit card, and Mike Lindell sent me my pillow. Everything you said about that pillow is true. Do you own it?
Yes.
It's amazing. How does it work? It's a mystery. Why do I love it so much? It's so comfortable. Comfort. So talk to me, Pastor, about comfort. Church, listen, everybody, listen. I'm not trying to get you upset here. I'm trying to actually bring some reality to this whole thing of our humanity and our spirituality. Even in Christendom, there's a gathering of those who want to be comforted. Just comfort me now. Speak to me easy words. Don't make me think, Pastor. Make me feel good about myself. Don't ruffle the feathers. No controversy, please. I just want to feel good about myself. And then there's the pendulum on the other side where God says, this is the truth and this is the reality of it all. And I want to prepare you so that you're not surprised because these days are coming upon you. And there's a great difference. And let me tell you something right now. Those who are rooted and grounded in the truth versus those that are embracing falsehood, when the earth shakes or the hills burn, and there's nothing left, where will you go? What will you hang on to? The good feel, comfort, will evaporate in an instant. The truth of God will endure forever, and you and I will decide to what we will build upon. Will it be the foundation and the rock of God's word, or will it be sand that crumbles beneath our feet in the time of shaking?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you keep the faith no matter what you're facing. God has already gone ahead of you, so just follow where He leads. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. A series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart, and his devotion to Jesus is woven throughout the pages of his letters. Peter not only lived his life with joy, but also with great anticipation of his Lord's return. Peter's heartfelt testimony inspired generations of people to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're perhaps wondering what that all means, we'd love to help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on the tab there that's labeled Know God, spelled out that's K-N-O-W, God, and once you're there, you'll discover the truth of what it really means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are not here by accident, that's the truth, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Again, you'll find the answers you're looking for when you click on that tab labeled Know God at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.